You are listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. This is a replay of our Sunday, October 30th Sunday service. Please enjoy music from Rebecca and Thad and message from Pastor Raph.
Welcome. Welcome everybody to Grace Christian Fellowship. We're so happy that you are here. You are a blessing to us. Your presence here blesses us. We're very thankful to those who are listening by radio. Welcome to the service. And a very special and heartfelt welcome to Tad and Rebecca Huseby from Bonner's Ferry. Welcome. And Lee, where is Lee? Oh, over there. And Lee also is traveling with them from Bonner's Ferry. And have good friends at the church there, Mount Hall Church. Pastor Bob Boone and his wife Cheryl, wonderful people. And we hope to go and visit them sometime soon.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me.
Hello, hello. Yeah. If everybody could find a seat, that'd be great. Thank you. Well, we want to welcome everybody here this morning. I know my wife is in Alabama. It's been 3 years since she's seen her family. And she's listening tonight, today. Yeah. And Pastor and Gina and Jessica are with Michelle and the family there for the first time. So I've often wondered how hard it must be for a new believer to try and figure out what's true. You know, what is the truth when you're seeking? And I'm just going to read a little bit. I'm going to read from 1 John 4. And hopefully this helps some people that are new believers or seekers. Dear friends, do not believe the spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now even already in this world. That was 2,000 years ago. It's still here. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are in a church that lifts up your word, that we have pastors that speak the truth. We thank you for where we live and the abundance that we have. We pray for people all over the world that don't even know where their next meal is coming from. We pray for those that are hungry and homeless, those that are addicted to drugs and alcohol. We pray for those that just have a sense of worthlessness. We pray for our persecuted brothers all over this world. And we just pray that you be with those people. Let them never deny you no matter what they go through. We thank you so much for the blessings that you give us. And may we reach out to others. May you use us in our communities. Help us to love one another and to care for one another and lift each other up. We thank you for this service today. We pray for the worship team. We pray for Pastor Raph as he preaches your word, and may your words come through him. And we thank you for all these things and the blessings to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, our northern family. It is good to be back. Oh, my word. I knew there was going to be a lot of old faces, but I knew there was going to be a lot of new faces. And there are a lot of new faces. Oh, this is awesome. I was listening to your broadcast a few weeks ago of your Sunday service, and they announced a youth worship team. I got blessed. I got loud, actually. I get loud when I get blessed. But that was awesome. I listened to that and I thought, whoa, the next generation coming up, this is going to be powerful, because the children and the young people don't just have the knowledge that we are passing to them, but they have the strength, they have the energy, and I believe they have the intestinal fortitude to stand against anything the enemy might throw at them. They're not going to back down. They are going to be the front runners. And I'm so blessed.
God is working.
Yes. You're probably not going to know some of the songs we're doing this morning, because we've been gone a long time and we're just kind of, but sing along when you can, please. I don't know about you, but I'm ADHD. And you all think you know what I'm saying when I say that, right? Because, you're probably some of them anyway. But what I mean by ADHD is I am armed and dangerous hell depopulator. Yeah. Armed and dangerous hell depopulator. Yeah. And there has to be a determination in your determinator. There really does. If you're going to serve the Lord, that's what it's got to be. And that's what this course is all about. And it's so old that it was written in King James English, so I had to kind of change a few of the words. So I did. So you can sing it, and it'll still, it's not King James, but it'll work. I am determined, I made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. I've left this world and its pleasures behind. I'll serve the Lord. I'll follow wherever he leads me. I'll pasture wherever he feeds me. guys can sing a song you don't know. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, when COVID-19 hit, and I know so many people that just went, what are we going to do? Even in the church, which kind of, you know, tilted me a little bit. I thought, what are they saying? What are we going to do? We know what we're going to do. You know. Anyway, and the Holy Spirit just gently, quietly, in my spirit, in my heart, said, never get perplexicated by the infactuality of the situationalistic circumstantialism. It's inflambunctatory. Okay, maybe he didn't say exactly those words. It was more like, peace. Be still. Everything's going to be all right. So that's what we're going to say.
That's something that God has really emphasized.
Yes. No.
When this COVID stuff all started, I kind of got a little shook up. And what's going to happen here and everything? First thing God says, do you trust me? And I said, yes, I trust you. Then he said, don't have any fear. And he wants the whole church to know that and understand that. There's no need to fear because he's promised to take care of his own.
Yes, and everything's going to be all right.
Doesn't matter what is on your plate, whether or not you got your head on straight. You need forgiveness and you just can't wait. Just give it up and you can say, everything is gonna be alright. Already know who's gonna win this fight. I go to bed and go to sleep at night, 'cause everything is alright. Sent his only son to take your place. He'll take your sin and fill the hole with grace. You'll have a silly grin all over your face. And when they ask, well, you can say, I know that everything is gonna be alright. Already know who's gonna win this fight. I go to bed and go to sleep at night, 'cause everything is alright. Everything is gonna be alright. Already know who's gonna win this fight. I go to bed and go to sleep at night, 'cause everything is alright.
Hallelujah.
Well, Pastor Dave emailed us yesterday and said slip in a couple of specials there. So if you know these songs, this one is one my mother-in-law wrote many years ago. It's called Goodbye Earth and Hello Heaven. I'm looking forward to that day, I don't think it's all that far off. So this is called Goodbye Earth and Hello Heaven.
You can sit a spell if you want. We'll have you rise again later.
This is one of those special numbers. There's been a change in my heart since Jesus found me. I've changed my plans, my ambitions, and my dreams. I've got a new kind of love to share with others. And now a new life upon my pathway beams. Earth and hello heaven, just passing through, a pilgrim here am I. Faith has caught the song up yonder, I'm heaven bound and so to earth goodbye. Traded all of my shadows for your sunshine.
I've traded heartache and sorrow for His joy. He gave me peace and contentment without measure. And now I'm living each day in His employ. Goodbye, earth, and hello, heaven. Just passing through, a pilgrim here am I. Faith has caught the song up yonder. I'm heaven bound and so to earth goodbye. I'm heaven bound and so to earth goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise your Father.
I absolutely love the name of your church. And there's a fine line between taking grace too far and not taking it far enough. There really is. And I was really struggling with something God had called me to do years and years ago. And my little boy came up to me and I said, I just don't feel worthy of this. And he said, Mom, if you were worthy, it wouldn't be grace. Yeah. So that's what this song is all about. And if you want to stand again, you can do that while we finish out the praise set here.
Tasting forgiveness.
Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The song Amazing Grace was written by John Newton, age 23, the 10th of March in 1778. He cried out to God, and we can do that also. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can cry out to Him and just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. It's that simple.
Yes.
But you got to mean it with your heart. Yes. Amazing Grace, sing it with me.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, before I first believed. Toils and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will
special request. It's the last one of the set. Sometimes in our Christian walk, we look at things and we say, this is impossible. This is just impossible. God says, not a problem. I am a lion. And the lion can break through anything. Other times we look at situations and people especially, and we say, Lord, they don't need a lion. He said, no problem. I'm the lamb. Whatever you need, I got news for you. His name is I Am. So sometimes it takes a lion.
He was sent down to a stable, the most humble place on earth. But the roar from that manger announced Messiah's birth.
Lion of Judah, come down to set us free. Open wide the gates of heaven and proclaim the victory. Sometimes it takes a lion to break every chain and give to us the victory. Again and again, when you ask him what his name is, sometimes it takes a lion, and sometimes it takes a lamb. Well, he looked down through the ages, and he saw me here today. He knew I'd need a savior, and somebody had to pay the price for my sins, or forever I'd be lost. So the Lamb laid down his life for mine. Hear the bleeding from the cross. Sometimes it takes a lion to break every chain and give to us the victory. Again and again, when you ask him what his name is, he simply says, I am. 'Cause sometimes it takes a lion, sometimes it takes a lamb. Sometimes it takes a lion to break every chain and give to us the victory. Sweet Jesus, again and again, what your need is, and you'll hear him say, I am. Sometimes it takes a lion, and sometimes it takes a lamb. Sometimes it takes a lion. Sometimes it takes a lamb.
Very blessed by that, and you're welcome to come back anytime. How's everybody doing today?
Still not on.
No. You need to be on.
And I'm going to be on now. Now I'm on. That was my fault. So for the benefit of those on the radio, I was really blessed by the worship, okay? Yeah. You know, John Piper wrote a book called We're Not Professionals. But God has called us to serve him. One thing I'd like you to do is just please remember Gary, because I'm sure that you noticed that he wasn't there this morning to greet you at the door. He's not feeling well. Please pray for him. I wasn't going to share this, but I think I will, just because of the way that the Holy Spirit is moving and doing things in our midst. We had a wonderful prayer time. Dave, you're right on with what you shared today, this morning. Open the service. So I'm going to share with you something that that happened just about a week ago or so. And I wrote in my devotional book, or in my quiet time book, I was kind of discouraged. And I wrote, "Dear Lord, how come I don't feel like I'm producing fruit? Why?" And you know what? Something was in my shoe. And it felt like a stone. And I thought, oh, it's weird. I got a stone on my shoe. And it's annoying, isn't it, when you have a stone in your shoe? I took it off, shook it out, little stone came out, and put my shoe back on. And there's that, still that annoying thing there. And I took off my shoe again and shook it out again, and another little stone came out. Anyways, still there. And so I actually took off my shoe again and started to examine the sole. And what was stuck to it was a thorn. A thorn and a bit of a branch. And all of a sudden, I started thinking about the sower of the seed. Do you remember what the thorns represent? The cares of this world. And all of a sudden it dawned on me that I've been caring too much about the world. And God spoke to me. I was humbled. Just let that sink in. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart about that. I'm not preaching about that today, but I just wanted to share that with you. You guys okay? Yeah. You with me so far? I've got something to say to you. Rex erit recte facet, qui non facet, non erit. It's like, oh my goodness, Pastor Raph is speaking in tongues. Where's the translation? Okay, well, here's one. Needs to be a translation. I, William of the Wassail, am now in my castle, and all the dogs in the town shan't gar me gang down. We need a translation. Still speaking in tongues. Well, maybe you know this one. I'm the king of the castle, and you're the dirty rascal. You know that one? Uh-oh, I'm making the baby cry. Oh. It's my granddaughter, everybody. The Louisa. It's just a little kid song. You know, who cares? You know, but this song reveals a lot about human nature. We want to be kings. We want to be kings of the castle. We can get a glimpse of human nature and sin nature from watching little children. It's true. Have you observed toddlers before? See what they do? Now, they certainly learn behaviors and they mimic and so on and so forth. But there are things that appear in them that just appear. Just as they're being kids, doing their thing. Where'd that come from? What do you think it is? What are they born with? Sin nature. Let's say it together. Sin nature. As cute, as beautiful, as much of a blessing children are, they have it. Like everyone. is born with it. I remember once went to Abbotsford. I went with Sylvia to meet my niece and my sister-in-law. And she was a beautiful little blonde. I think she was about 2 years old at that time. Blue eyes, big blue eyes, skipping merrily along, you know, in her little dress. She's so beautiful, just amazing. Then at this moment, her mother commanded her to do something. All of a sudden, she was like, "No!" Just like that. She stood her ground. She rebelled. She revolted.
Wow.
Yeah. Sound familiar? You remember that? When you did that? She was defiant. I was amazed. She meant business. But as I watched, her mother looked at her, her eyes bulged out and said, "What did you say?" And I was just like, I was in trepidation. I was fearful. So was this little girl. She was scared straight. But that was enough for her to be obedient, to start to listen to her mother's instruction. Because, like it or not, her mother was sovereign over her. Unfortunately, right? But isn't that how it is? And you start to raise and train your children on the way that they should walk, and then all of a sudden they get to a certain age, and it's all over again. Right? Yeah. The fact is, every living person has to come to grips with God and His rule, His sovereignty in our lives. And that He has appointed His Son as Messiah and King. You have to come to grips with that. And you know what? That flesh in us, that sin nature, rages against it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You have to come to grips with that in your own life. Imagine how difficult it is, or it can be difficult for you as a believer. Imagine people that are not believers. Or those that are really carnal Christians. Those that actually proclaim Christ but are not living for Christ. Their heart rages all the time. They've got to deal with that. You are not king of the castle. You're not. None of us are. I'm not. The proclamation of God's sovereignty, His rule and reign through His Son, His Messiah, Jesus, triggers rebellion. Triggers revolt. Not just by those who are pagan, but also those that are religious. But again, on a deeper level, it triggers us as well. Let's begin with Psalm 2. And we'll look at the first three verses together. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot a vain thing? Or plot in vain, it says there. In some versions, it says a vain thing. The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord. And against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off, their shackles." Now, is following God burdensome to you? No. He gives us freedom. You were singing about it. Thad and Rebecca were singing about casting those chains off. But His rule and reign is in our lives, I hope, right? That's what we strive for. But you see, these kings were looking at the rule and reign of Messiah as chains. They don't want boundaries. They don't want the word of God. They don't want His truth. They want to cast those off. Let's do that, they say. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. That's the way we come. Not in defiance. Because he will not allow it. Amen. He won't. He's not the king of your life. He will be, one way or another. It's true. That's the truth. I had to come to grips with this recently, so I'm pointing at myself too. They view his rule as shackles and chains. But you know what the Hebrew actually conveys here is this idea of them conspiring. It says conspire in the new NIV, but it's actually raging. And what it actually means, or what the Hebrew language conveys, is a tumultuous storm, like a storm at sea, frothing, okay, boiling. It's an amazing picture. Remember that movie? Some of you would remember The Perfect Storm. Scary. But that's what the image is supposed to be conveying to us. But you know, it was Jesus who rebuked the sea. Do you remember? Yes. Do you remember that storm came up? The Sea of Galilee? And you know, when you go to Israel one day, if you do, and I hope every one of you do, amen, every one of you can see the Sea of Galilee for yourself. And you'll see, you'll think, wow, the Sea of Galilee isn't what I expected. It's maybe different. I'll just say that. But when a storm rises up there, it is something else. And I remember we were there as a family swimming. And we were carrying our kids, and we had our kids, toddlers, on our backs, and a storm came up. And it was scary. But that was nothing compared to what was going on at the time when Jesus was with his disciples. See, the thing is, as you think about this, as you and I know the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we know the blessing that he is, we know the freedom that he's given us, why would these kings respond this way? Shouldn't they be just worshiping him, laying their crowns down? Right? That's what he deserves. Because it's going to happen. And it talks, and John, the Revelator, talks about it in Revelation chapter 4. The verse is not up there. Verses aren't there. Revelation 4, 10 to 11. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him, who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns down before him, before the throne, and say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power. You created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." That's the right way to do it. Not rage, not rebel, not say, "Let's cast his rule away from us." Because it's in vain. It's useless. Because Psalm 21:11 says, "Though they plot evil against you and devise wicked schemes, they cannot succeed." They won't succeed. It's absolutely vain. When you struggle and that comes up, that flesh comes up and you struggle against God, it's in vain.
That's right.
Humble yourself. Ask him to help you at that moment. You don't want to have that kind of heart against God. He loves you. Jesus, the Messiah, was rejected by his people, his own people. In John 19:15, you remember this? It says, "But they shouted, 'Take him away, take him away, crucify him.' And Pilate responded, 'Shall I crucify your king?' Pilate asked, 'We have no king but Caesar.' The chief priest answered." The chief priest, the head of the Jewish authority, this is what he said: "We have no king but Caesar." What hypocrisy. That they align themselves with the evil Roman Empire when all they did was cry out for freedom. But you know, it happens, doesn't it? Something happens where we're not sure And instead of grabbing a hold of the Lord, we look to the government. God help us. God forgive us. He's sovereign. Through the pages of church history, the church failed over and over and over again, taking a hold of power and greed, licentiousness. They raged against God. The fierce and bloody history of the church. Those that have read about it, that know about it. It's ugly. And unless we've misread the book of Revelation, there's a lot of bad stuff coming. Right? Be prepared. Be ready. Think of all the ungodly empires that knowingly or unknowingly had risen up against God. The Sumerians, Mesopotamians, Egyptians, the wicked kings of Israel, Judah and Israel. There were wicked kings there. Remember, we read about Ahab, the worst king that they'd ever seen? That was, of course, until Manasseh. Assyrian, Babylonian, Persian, Greek, Roman. In Acts chapter 4, 23 and 27, the Apostle Peter, in response to the persecution that John and himself were going through, what they experienced at the hands of the Jewish authorities, spoke this. Starting at verse 25. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed. And verse 27, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together. This was Peter. And with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They raged, they plotted, they conspired, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter. The will of God was done. That didn't change the fact of who Jesus was, what he was to do, what he did for you and I and for all humanity. But it continues on. That wasn't the end. This is prophecy fulfilled, but it continues. Look around you, look at history. It's going on still. Throughout history, there's continued to be nations where the people rage against God, reject his sovereignty and his kingship, the kingship of his Messiah, Jesus. Think about the French Empire, Spanish, Portuguese, British, the USSR, Germany with the Third Reich, the Ottoman Empire, and so on and so on. Got to end somewhere, right? Can't keep going on. Some within those empires claim to be bringing forth the kingdom of God. But again, maybe they started off okay, but they didn't end well at all. They wanted the power. And where maybe at first they were worshiping God, but then eventually they found they were raging against him. Their hearts turned. It's that whole idea of power corrupting, right? How are you guys doing? There's a Bible scholar named David Cooper who gave us a little clue on these verses we've been talking about in Psalm 2, verse 2 in particular. And he talks about an international conference. That's what this is talking about, an international conference or conferences, okay? Where the kings of the earth and the rulers gather together in conferences to decide the issues which are agitating the world. Does that sound familiar? I think it does, doesn't it? It's a political gathering for delegates. These kings of the earth and the rulers get together. He further stated that this group would be comprised of atheists, but there would be a religious political convention. Even before the Second World War, organizations have formed in order to facilitate greater cooperation between nations, big business, and the wealthy. Do we have a slide coming up? There we go. There's a lot of them. I just stopped at two. There were so many. There's so many of them. The UN Security Council. The UN founded October 5th, 1945. So then from there we have the Security Council. We have UNESCO. Have you heard of them? United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. UN headquarters. Now, maybe you didn't know this. This is interesting. A UN headquarters sits in Jerusalem in a location called the Hill of Evil Council. That's what it's called. Do you know why? Because, according to tradition, that is the precise location of where the former house of Caiaphas, the high priest, was, where Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. The Hill of Evil Council. Their mandate or mission is to keep the peace throughout the world, to develop friendly relations among nations, to help nations work together to improve the lives of poor people, to conquer hunger, disease, illiteracy, and encourage respect for each other's rights and freedoms. Sounds good on the surface, yeah? They're admirable goals. The problem is, in their attempts to fulfill this mission, they reject the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. They deny him. By their very mandates, by the way they draw out their policies, for what they stand for, they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. His rule and his reign. They want to do it my way. You remember that song by Frank Sinatra? I did it my way. It's a song of the atheist. They don't want righteousness. They want wickedness. They don't want holiness. They want filthiness. They are anti-freedom, anti-reason, anti-economy, anti-logic or sound thinking, anti-education. They're also anti-Israel. Many of you know that already. You've probably seen these things. You've seen some of these councils and their meetings publicized. They are anti-family. Have you looked at UN Agenda 2030? I'm not going to get into too much of it now. It is an anti-Christ document. Demonic. And as a believer, you cannot stand with it. Amen. It is Antichrist. Dave read that earlier. John 4. I'm getting serious. But this is serious times. We have to talk about these things. The other one I wanted to mention was the World Economic Forum. We know a lot about them, don't we? The forum strives in all, this is what is written about them, okay? There's lots, but I'll just read this. It strives in all its efforts to demonstrate entrepreneurship in the global public interest while upholding the highest standard of governance. Moral and intellectual integrity is at the heart of everything it does. Okay, a little bit more. I know I see some of you falling asleep. Just a sec. Our activities are shaped by unique institutional culture founded on the stakeholder theory. I'm lost right now. Okay. The institution carefully blends and balances the best of many kinds of organizations from both the public and private sectors, international organizations, and academic institutions. I'll just stop. You know, it's gobbledygook. What does it mean? Nothing. You can't put your hat on that. It's just a bunch of gibberish. Sounds good, but doesn't mean anything. Some of you might remember there was a fellow by the name of Yuval Harari, who was a WEF advisor, scientist, historian, whatever. He talked about manipulating genetic code in humans. He talked about augmented human bodies. He said that we will become gods. So we can see and we can surmise very simply that this organization is anti-human, anti-God, anti-Christ. Okay? It is. You can't get around, you can't sugarcoat it. John, 1 John 4:3, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus as is not from God, this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard is coming, and he's even now in the world. See, this is where we're challenging one another here, because in James 4:4, it says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes the enemy of God." We don't want that. That's why it's so important. Please hear me. We all have to come to grips with this. And what's the response of God in all this? Let's go back to the Word of God. Verse 4, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain." So you see, it doesn't matter what they say, how they rage, what they do, what they come up with. It doesn't matter. Because what matters is what God says. What matters is who is king, who he says is king. What matters is his rule and reign. Jesus is God's Messiah, his king, that he chose. And he earned it. He went all the way to the cross. God incarnate suffered terribly for you and I. He bled and died for us to set us free. So we don't have to be caught up in this. He earned it. No one else can steal his glory from him. It belongs to him and him alone. Verse 7 in Psalm 2, "I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said, 'You are my son. Today I've become your father. Ask me and I will make the nations as your inheritance. The ends of the earth as your possession.'" Acts 13:33. "He has fulfilled for us their children by raising up Jesus, as is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son.'" I'm repeating it, but it's important, okay? "Today I have become your father, the only begotten son of the Father." This is a title of messiahship. No one else has it. It's only him. "He was obedient to the will of the Father in every way. He obeyed every command. He went to the cross. He alone is worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise. He is worthy of our allegiance." Isaiah 42:8, I don't have it up there, says this, "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another, or my praise to idols." The nations belong to Jesus. All of humanity belongs to him. Amen. He is the king of the castle. Ephesians 1:21. I'm sorry, I don't have it. I have a lot of scriptures, so I just had to choose what I put up there. Ephesians 1:21. For above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the person, in the personal age, but also in the one to come. Revelation 19:13-16. Let's turn there together. Let's have a look there. Bear with me, okay? It's important, okay? He is dressed, this is verse 13, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on a white horse and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which he strikes down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the wide winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh is written this name: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's his name. That's his name. This is a serious threat that God makes. Breaking with a rod of iron. It says in verse 9, he will break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like pottery. Remember in Matthew 21:44, says this: anyone who falls on this stone, yes, this stone, will be broken to pieces. Anyone whom it falls will be crushed. The context of this verse is when Jesus was speaking of the Pharisees who rejected his rule. And they were crushed. They were crushed. Verse 10 says, therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned. For those who have been attending the Bible study, what is the key to wisdom? You remember? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Be wise, it says. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss the Son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. Kiss the Son. It means give him homage, pay homage to him. Worship him. We know the Greek word proskuneo means kiss. Kiss the Son. Worship him. Pay him homage. And it's an or else. That's the thing. It's your choice. Do you want to come to him when he's gentle, or do you want to come to him when he's going to break you down? It's our choice. It's the choice of all, and that's the warning. That's the warning. We can point out in history and the empire about the empires that rose up and revolt against God, and we can notice all these evil cabals we just talked about. There's so many. It's like a garden variety. It's so many. I can't believe it. Flavor of ungodly groups out there with antichrist agendas. But this is the thing. What's God saying to our hearts? Where are we at? We have to come to grips with this. What is he saying to us? Is Jesus the king of your life? Does he rule and reign every aspect of your heart? Or are you rejecting some aspect of his kingship? His lordship? That's the thing we all have to ask ourselves. He will be king regardless. Will you choose to bow or will he force you to bow? You know, I suggest you pray something at some point. Maybe not today, I don't know. I don't know if the Lord's touching your heart. But you can pray, Lord, break my heart. Yes. You can say that. Yes. You can say that. Allow him before he does it anyways. I implore you. I'm pleading with you. Trust in him. Hosea 6, 1-3 says, "Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us, and the third day, he will restore us. That we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like winter rains, like spring rains that water the earth." Glory be to God. That's a promise. You know, as you read that, and you read that with a New Testament understanding, you know that it's talking about eternal life, right? We have that eternal life. You have access to that. You know, something that came up in the men's prayer group was that, you know what? Sometimes we just don't access what we have already. We ask for it, we ask for it. You know, are you praying a prayer that is insanity? That you're asking for something you already have. You have resurrection power in your life. But you're maybe denying that. And choosing the flesh. You know, I was reminded by the Holy Spirit that we are anointed to receive the truth. You are. You're dripping with oil. You are. Not just individuals. Not just a pastor. All of you. But that's something that you have to realize, that he has to show you. And you have to receive that truth. You know, am I going on too long?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay, because you'd tell me, right? Started throwing stuff. I got to tell you something, okay? When God spoke to me, and some of you know this about my testimony, when God said, told me what my name means, God has healed. That was past tense.
Yeah, yeah.
Past tense.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
You were set free.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
He wants to be your king completely. And that's the way that we stay away from the world. That's the way.
Amen.
Working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Sometimes we may need the Lord to break us down. Break our hearts. Until we come to that place where we cry out, "Jesus, be King." In every part of my life. The last verse I have is Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I chose that picture because that is something that's Japanese pottery called kintsugi. I think that's how you say it. I never did get to learn Japanese. But you see that there's like a gold lacquer that's filling that crack. You know, each one of us are cracked. Okay? And some of us need to be cracked more. But that's what happens. I'm talking about getting broken, okay? That's what I'm talking about. That is beautiful.
Yes.
So in our brokenness, in your brokenness, God brings something beautiful.
Yes.
If you would just trust Him.
Yes.
If you would just be willing.
Yes.
Because why don't you just agree with what He wants to do instead of raging? He is the King of the castle. He reigns. He rules. Let's pray. Oh God, we come before You. And we say, we're in this place where we know that Your Holy Spirit is working. We know, Lord, that You're speaking to us and You've spoken to us today. And all of us are in the same boat in some regard. Lord, we want to reject the world, but we know sometimes we struggle. We have thorns in our life. We don't want to rage against You, Most High, against Your rule and reign in our lives. We want You to be King. I pray that You would just touch each and every one of us. If this is something that the Lord is speaking to your heart about, I just ask you if you would raise your hand. You'd be willing to raise your hand and just allow the Lord to work in you. Allow the Lord to heal you. Allow the Lord to touch your life in such a way that you can say, He is the King of my life. If that's you, just raise your hand. Thank You. There's no shame in the house of God. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. This is not a show. This is between you and God. Just be willing to reach out to Him. If you feel comfortable coming up later and asking for prayer, I'm happy to pray with you. Just allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. He spoke to me very powerfully lately, and He can speak to you and do what He wants to do now. You don't need my help. I just want to submit to what the Holy Spirit is doing right now in your life. Thank You, Jesus. But if you feel like coming up even now, you're welcome. I can pray for you. I can anoint you with oil. A reminder of that anointing that you have as a believer. I just thank everybody for listening by radio. We appreciate you listening and thank God for you. Pray that you are blessed by the service.
Thank you for tuning in and listening. Please join us next Sunday at Grace Christian Fellowship. God bless.